Wow, we had some really interesting games today. We had a potential Super Bowl preview. We had Trevor Lawrence watch today. We had football yesterday. It's been one heck of a weekend. And who better to talk about all this crazy football than our very own Eric Smith and Mike Miklius, as always. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I actually enjoyed today quite a bit. My teams got whittled down a little bit with, you know, second round of the playoffs. So I had less to worry about. I just kind of got to enjoy the games. And like you said, it was pretty wild. The late games, there was a battle between, you know, two mobile quarterbacks and Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. And, you know, we had a good game between the Chiefs and Saints, two Super Bowl contenders. But our Discord was just focused on that Jets game. It was just a lot of fun. And I feel bad for the Jets fans that they finally won a game and they are all miserable. But as a football watcher, I really enjoyed today. I think there's a lot of good takeaways and looking forward to, you know, the final week of fantasy championships.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We had one score games between the Chiefs and the Saints, which that game was absolutely insane. We had one score game between the Cardinals and Eagles and, you know, a couple of running quarterbacks. And by the way, Jalen Hurts might be the better one. And of course, all eyes were on the Jets beating the Rams in a game that meant nothing really to any playoff implications. It might have knocked the Rams out, I guess. But, you know, none of us really saw the Jets doing well today coming. And every Jets fan everywhere, all 12 of them, have cried out in anguish. So it was definitely a rough day for them, but not a rough day for Mike as he watched his Bears absolutely destroy the Vikings. And by that, I just mean David Montgomery running for 146 yards. How are you feeling today, Mike?
I'm feeling good. I finally have turned over a new leaf, and I'm no longer rooting for the draft pick. I'm actually hoping for a sneak into the playoffs now. I think you guys should keep an eye on me though, because I am starting to think maybe we re-sign Mitch Trubisky. So something is wrong in my head. Yeah, it's there's problems upstairs. And yeah, it was nice to see the team, you know, let Montgomery run it more than 11 times. So yeah, good day for me.
Yeah, I think Matt Nagy listened to this podcast because not only on last Sunday's show did we talk about it, but on the Wednesday show, Eric and I, you know, harkened back to that conversation about the only people who can stop David Montgomery being the Chicago Bears coaching staff. Well, they did not stop him today. They let him run 32 times. I don't know if that's a career high, but that is definitely a season high in terms of attempts for him.
Yeah, that's a career high in terms of carries, and I'm pretty sure yardage as well.
Well, I mean, you know, earlier in the year, I'm pretty sure I called him a poor man's David Johnson. So he is definitely more than that, you know, because David Johnson actually catches passes now and David Montgomery still only caught one. That's a whole other thing. But before we get into all that, you know, make sure that you check out our live stream that we do every Sunday before the games start. You know, we have our What We Saw article that's going to come out tomorrow. Actually, it might have already come out this morning as we had games on Saturday. But we, you know, we go over every single game. We talk about everything in there, and they go way more in depth than what we're able to do on the podcast. So make sure to check that out. You can find all that stuff at QBList.com and our Twitter at TheQBList. Mike, who is your winner today? I assume it's David Montgomery.
See, that felt a little bit too easy to have the Bears fan come on and tell you the Bears were really good. And I think we talked about him last week as a winner. So I subdued, you know, this week. I didn't pick him. I went with Justin Jefferson. So this wasn't Justin Jefferson's biggest game, but it did allow me to still pick from the Bears-Vikings game, so that was cool. and here's my crazy stat of the week. Justin Jefferson now has 600-yard games as a rookie wide receiver, which is pretty crazy. If we combine the 100-yard games from Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor, and Brandon Ayuk, they combined have 600-yard games this season.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little perspective in just how epic he's been. I think he's basically cemented rookie of the year for offense. There's been some good competition, but he's just been a monster, and he's doing things at wide receiver that have never been done, including breaking Randy Moss's team rookie wide receiver marks.
Well, and yelling at Kirk Cousins to throw the ball, which is a great clip. I don't know if you guys thought Jefferson was not happy, wide open in the end zone, and Kirk wasn't throwing on the ball. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, Justin Jefferson's having a fantastic rookie year. I think what really stands out is against this Bears secondary. You know, he was able to lead the way in targets with 11, tripling the number of targets that Adam Thielen got. Had 8 receptions for 104 yards, and as you pointed out, 6 separate 100-yard receiving games this year from Justin Jefferson, which I don't think anyone expected to see from a first-year wide receiver. Definitely not on the team that, you know, really we didn't think was going to throw the ball very much. That was the other part with the Vikings, was we were really expecting them to run it a lot, and they've been airing it out a bit more lately. So definitely a good choice there for winner of the week. Eric, who is your winner?
Yeah, so my winner is Jalen Hurts. I think, you know, you can nitpick his passing. I think teams are going to get, you know, more on tape from him and maybe take away some of what he's doing. But he's passed the eye test 2 straight weeks now. Threw for over 300 yards, which I think we would have expected would have taken a little longer than just a second start. Threw for 3 touchdowns. He was sacked 6 times, but those kind of all racked up on one drive. He had only been sacked like twice in the fourth quarter, going into the fourth quarter. But then another 63 yards on the ground and a touchdown from Hurts. And I don't know, he's just really passing the eye test. He looks like a talented player, both on the ground and through the air. And just, I think the Eagles have something here. It's definitely turned around their team. He went toe-to-toe with Kyler Murray in Arizona. That's a team fighting for the playoffs. So the Eagles have something. We have something for Hurts in fantasy for sure, because he's running the ball like crazy. So I was just really impressed. I mean, I will say, like, he's not thrown over the middle much. And I think eventually teams might take away the sideline throws, the down the field throws to Alshon Jeffrey, where they drew a bunch of pass interference. But for now, Hurts looks great, and I think they can build around him going forward.
Well, and we kind of alluded to it when we were talking about the great duel between the two quarterbacks in Hurts and Murray, and they actually ended up as the number 1 and number 4 quarterbacks on the day today. And I'll let you guess which one was which, but, you know, hint, it's the guy who ran for 63 yards in the touchdown. And other hints, that wasn't Kyler Murray. So Jalen Hurts was the number 1 quarterback on the day. And you know, this is 2 straight games where he's really done a lot of work on the ground. Obviously, he had over 100 yards rushing last week. But, you know, if he can continue to do this, you know, all the teams that, you know, found themselves without Taysom Hill this week and were wondering what on earth they're going to do at quarterback. Well, Jalen Hurts is available in 62% of leagues still. And I have a feeling you're going to be fighting for him on the waiver wire come Tuesday.
Yep, I agree. And like I said, I think there are going to be adjustments, and it's not going to be smooth sailing from here on out. But it was exciting to watch him play, and they almost took this game to overtime. So great things from Hurts here.
Mike, who is your loser today?
My big loser for the day was the Seattle passing attack. Russell Wilson was held to 121 yards. They've been struggling for a bit now. I think he's been held under 300 yards for like 5 or 6 straight games after a really big start to the season. And the biggest loser in this passing game has been Tyler Lockett. This is 8 straight games he's been under 80 yards. It's clear, again, he's suffered as the passing game has suffered. DK Metcalf has kind of avoided the daily or the weekly dips, but Lockett's been off for a really long time. And I think we kind of talked about this last week and the week before, but it's hard to put any faith in Lockett, you know, in this last week, because the whole passing attack has been struggling.
Yeah, I mean, the Washington football team defense is really good, and that's part of it. You know, they get after the quarterback. They do a great job in coverage. I mean, they're one of the top 5 defenses, you know, in the past so far this year. So it's definitely tough, but you really would hope to see the Seahawks be the team that can rise above that, you know, really be locked in no matter who they're playing. And I think everyone was disappointed today, no matter which Seahawk you started, unless for some reason you started Carlos Hyde, in which case you're pretty happy with that 50-yard touchdown. But other than that, you know, it's pretty much a disappointing day from the Seahawks. You know, does this make you not want to trust them next week in the final? Like, if you've ridden Russell Wilson or DK Metcalf, Chris Carson or Tyler Lockett all the way to your championship, is there any reason why you might bench them against the Rams?
Oh, that's going to be a tough one, because, you know, the Rams losing today to the Jets, we could say, oh, maybe they're not as good as we think. But I think it's going to make the Rams all the more desperate to get a big win against Seattle. I'm probably still riding with the passing game. I think Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf get the full start. I'd probably start somebody from the running game. I'd have to look at it a little more closely. But I think Lockett would get the bench for me.
Okay. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, I think I generally agree. I mean, it's also kind of coincided with Seattle's defense playing a lot better, so they're just not getting in these shootouts anymore. I mean, I think you could do worse than Lockett if we get Jalen Ramsey matched up on DK Metcalf, then that could open him up. But it's always hard predicting these complicated coverages. So, yeah, it's very sketchy. They're not a shootout team anymore, and I wouldn't blame you at all for benching Lockett.
Yeah, so last time the Seahawks played the Rams was back in week 9, and the Seahawks lost that one 16-23. Russell Wilson, no touchdowns, threw 2 interceptions, was sacked 6 times. He did rush for 60 yards, so that definitely helped his day. And then DK Metcalf was held to 2 receptions for 28 yards on 4 targets. Tyler Lockett had 5 receptions for 66 yards on 9 targets. And Chris Carson did not play in that one. Alex Collins led the way with 11 carries for 43 yards and a touchdown. So it's definitely not exactly the most encouraging thing to see the last time the Seahawks and the Rams met up. But, you know, the Rams just let the Jets score 23 points on them. So it might be a little less scary of a defense this time around. I'm not entirely positive, but I would definitely be nervous to play my Seahawks next week against the Rams. I know you guys mentioned like Lockett, Metcalf, but would you be looking for a quarterback replacement? Like for example, if Jalen Hurts was available on the wire and they play the Cowboys next week, would you want Hurts in there over Russell Wilson?
I think so. As crazy as it sounds, it's a perfect matchup for Hurts. It's a tough matchup for Wilson. And I mean, Seattle struggled with defenses that can get after the passer. So I think it kind of checks all the marks there that would make you pull that one off.
I think I would still roll with Wilson. I don't love the matchup and I don't love the recent history for Wilson, but I still know how talented he is. And I still feel like it's crunch time and he tends to play well in crunch time. So I think he'll come out on top. I'd probably stick him with Wilson at QB.
All right. Eric, who is your loser on the day?
Yeah, I debated a few here. I almost went with Drew Brees, but he kind of pulled it out a little bit at the end. They put up a fight against the Chiefs. I'm going with Jared Goff here. When we talked a lot, you know, about them losing to the Jets, obviously, but it's just to the point where we can't even feel confident starting Jared Goff in good matchups. I mean, 209 yards passing against the Jets today while they were playing from behind. He had a matchup against Seattle's defense a few weeks back where he put up 300 yards but had no touchdowns. You know, Dallas defense in week 1, 275 yards and no touchdowns. Like, Goff, we can't even play in these prime matchups for fantasy purposes. So, obviously, this is a concern from the team side and the real NFL side that he can't even beat the Jets right now. But just in fantasy, it's just, I mean, when do you feel comfortable playing him? I mean, I suppose if we know a team can take away the run, then maybe you feel comfortable. But I mean, that's kind of the Jets. They're decent against the run and terrible against the pass. And he fell on his face today. So Goff's going to have his weeks with McVay. He's such a good play caller, but it's just, he's impossible to predict. And, you know, like I said, if you can't play him in the fantasy playoffs against the Jets, then when are you going to play him?
Yeah, it's pretty brutal to see the Rams playing against a bad team and a bad team that spots them a deficit. Like, if you want the passing game to play well, you want to be spotted a deficit, so you have to throw. And the Rams had a throw, and he's got plenty of weapons to make it work if he had the ability to make it work. And as Eric said, I just don't think he's that good. And yeah, I mean, it's like, if you couldn't trust him in this game, what game can you trust him in?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I don't know really that I've ever trusted Goff. I just don't think he's a very good quarterback. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there that have been streaming him, and that's absolutely tough to see what he did today. And you know, it's definitely a game that you'd want him to do well, especially, as you said, Mike, they were spotted points. Or they were down points, I should say, early. So definitely should have been something they could have come back from. All right, let's talk about some injury news today. Michael Thomas was placed on the IR due to that ankle injury that's been bothering him all year. So that's going to end his regular season. If for any reason you're hanging on to Michael Thomas, you can drop him. They're hoping to have him ready and healthy for the playoffs. But, you know, also with the Saints, Tre'Quan Smith left the game with an ankle injury. So obviously, you know, down Michael Thomas, down Tre'Quan Smith, that leaves them just Emmanuel Sanders really at wide receiver. They still have Jared Cook and Alvin Kamara. So what does this do for the value of those guys? Are you rushing to pick up, like, say, Emmanuel Sanders?
I don't know if I'm rushing, but they do have to throw to somebody for sure. I mean, we'll fully get into the Saints game later. It was a bit of a mess. I think it really depends on how much you think Breeze is going to rebound. So if Sanders is out there, I'd go get him. He's pretty much the 1A and 1B at receiver right now. So I'd be interested.
Yeah, I agree. I'm losing faith in this passing attack. This kind of feels like a Peyton Manning 2013 Broncos situation, where you have this stud quarterback. He's clearly lost it. He's like just trying to coast to the finish and maybe get that one more championship. I think we'll see Breeze announce his retirement after this year, but I think he's hoping to ride off in the sunset with a championship. Emmanuel Sanders. That being said, because of the lack of names, I think he's the one guy that I would still trust receiving wise. If Breeze goes out, we're going to be looking at either Jameis Winston, who likes to chuck it, and that's good for Sanders, or we'd see Taysom Hill, who doesn't like throwing to the running backs, which again is good for Sanders. So I think I trust him. If I need a receiver, I'm fine with starting him.
All right. Ezekiel Elliott wasn't active today with the calf injury that kept him out of practice all week. But even despite that, it was definitely still a surprise because all the reporting was that he was still going to play. Should we be concerned at all about his week 16 status, especially with as well as Tony Pollard played today?
Yeah, I would be worried that he's going to get a full workload, and that's really what we need with Elliott right now. This offense isn't that good. Zeke isn't that explosive. So if we're not getting 70-80% of the snaps here, I don't know if you can start him. So this matchup against the Eagles, I mean, I don't think that's a matchup you're jumping out to play him in either. So we need him fully healthy practicing all week to be able to put him out there. And even then, I think you could probably find better options if you have a deep roster.
I'll say the one bright side for him is that we know Jerry's going to want to chase the playoffs because somebody from that division has to go to the playoffs. So I think there's a chance he would see that possibility and say, I could beat the Eagles. All right, Zeke, you're going to get 25 touches because you're looking good. I go into this with low confidence. As Eric said, it's not a great matchup and the recent history isn't good. But I can see a world where he bounces back in that game.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles did pretty well today against Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds on the ground. And I absolutely think you're right, Mike. I mean, the Cowboys, no matter what happens in tonight's game with the Giants, will be one game back of the division lead. I don't know what all the tiebreakers are going to end up being, but there's a very good chance the Cowboys could, end up tied for the division lead or even, standing alone at the top. I don't think anyone knows. I think maybe the Eagles are the only team that we can say is safely out of contention just because there's so much that needs to happen for them to be at the top. But it'll definitely be an interesting end of the season. And I think the worst thing that could happen would be if Zeke is back on 50% of the snaps and Pollard takes the other 50%, and then they're both just not interesting.
Yep, totally. We at this point, we either want Zeke sitting out or they just give him the backfield.
Yeah. All right. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was helped off the field late in the fourth quarter with a leg injury. That game just happened, so we don't really know any further updates on that yet, but definitely keep an eye on CEH's status. He looked pretty good today. I don't have the final stat line in front of me. I do now. 79 yards rushing on 14 carries. He had three targets in the passing game as well. I mean, that's against a tough Saints defense, so it would definitely be nice if he was healthy. If he's not playing, is Le'Veon Bell at all interesting for you guys?
It didn't look like a good injury. He was in a lot of pain, and they kind of had to carry him off. So it didn't look great, but you never know. Le'Veon Bell, he definitely he showed up today for the first time. He had 15 for 62 and a touchdown on the ground. You kind of noticed him on the field today as opposed to the other weeks where it was I wonder where Le'Veon Bell is. So I don't know. At the end of the day, though, it's the Chiefs running game. They ran for a lot today, but it seems like they run the ball more against tough defenses. It's not so easy for them to just chuck it downfield. So we'll have to look. Let's see. Next week, the Chiefs have the Falcons. So that's probably another passing game for them, I would guess. So I think you could start Le'Veon if CEH is out. I just don't know how exciting it's going to be. And I wouldn't get too distracted by these 41 carries for 179 yards from the Chiefs here.
Yeah, I like Le'Veon Bell as an option. I wouldn't call him a premium option, but I think he's solid. The Chiefs know they need to get some kind of running game going heading into the playoffs. And now that CEH is probably out, I would have to guess, that leaves Bell as really the guy they could trust. The CEH injury, for those who didn't see it, he was going down. He got someone landed on top of him and kind of forced him into the splits in a bad way. As he was being helped off the field, he wasn't putting any weight on the one leg. So based on that, I mean, I have to imagine he's at least done for the regular season just so they could rest him up. Worst case, it might be, a prolonged thing where he's out for the whole season.
Yeah, that would absolutely be the worst case scenario. He hasn't had the best fantasy season, but there's definitely people out there who are still counting on CEH. Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore left the game with a non-contact knee injury, which is like the worst four consecutive words, or like three words. I don't know how you feel about non-contact. and its status is one or two words. But either way, definitely not the words you like to see. Hopefully Gilmore will be fine. But, you know, the Patriots defense has not been fantastic. You know, definitely not their usual stalwart selves. And you know, without Gilmore, they're going to be even more vulnerable. Raheem Mostert left the game with an ankle injury. He did get 14 carries for 68 yards. And I mean, his ankles have been like, he was on the injury list earlier this week and we weren't sure if he was going to play. So, you know, who knows? I think for fantasy purposes, maybe the best case scenario would be if he misses next week and then Jeff Wilson can have that backfield more or less to himself. But I don't know, you know, if you guys would even want to go for that as well, considering the 49ers penchant for, you know, splitting up that backfield work and how many other guys they still have lurking, you know, in the wings in that backfield.
Yeah, I think lurking is the right word. But, I mean, they haven't really wanted to put Tevin Coleman or McKinnon on the field a whole lot. So I think Wilson would certainly be interesting. I mean, he had a decent day today, even with Mostert. So, you know, I think Mostert and Wilson are the primary options. And if it got whittled down to one, then it's probably worth a start.
Yeah, I agree. They're playing Arizona next week. And I don't think Arizona's defense has been terribly awful against running backs. So I think Wilson's worth the look. If you need a running back, he's going to be better than a lot of the other options you're considering.
All right, Stephon Diggs left late in the game with a foot injury. He obviously would be a huge loss for both the Bills offense and fantasy teams everywhere. He had a big week on Saturday against the Broncos. So definitely keep an eye on his status because we're all hoping he's going to be healthy. Michael Gallup left the game late with a hip injury. I don't know that it matters to anyone. If he's on the field or not, does it make a difference to any of you guys? I mean, maybe it affects like Amari Cooper.
It's just interesting because he's on the field a lot still. So, you know, deeper leagues, it might shake up that Cowboys, you know, receiving rotation. So I think it's worth keeping an eye on. But you're right. Probably not a lot of people starting Michael Gallup week 16.
Yeah, if anything, it gives a tiny value bump to Cooper and maybe Lamb, but not much.
All right, and then I see one of you guys have put in the notes, James Robinson potentially had an ankle injury today. I missed that, so go ahead and fill our listeners in on what you're referencing here.
Yeah, just said he left in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury, so we're not real sure exactly what that means. It's still early, so just keep an eye on that for sure. I had noticed that his snap count dropped last week a little bit already, so I wonder if they would maybe kind of ease him through the end of the season anyway, since Jacksonville has nothing to play for. So just watch that. I think if it's a mild injury, they may just sit James Robinson. So behind him, it's pretty much like Dare Ogunbowale is the pass catching back. I don't think he would fill in full time. It'd probably be Divine Azigbo who would be the between the tackles back. I don't know that you'd want any of them, though, but it could hurt you for sure if you're without James Robinson next week.
All right. Well, and he also may have left the game from sheer embarrassment over how poorly they were playing against the Ravens. I mean, I wouldn't want to have been playing in that game anymore either, personally. But that's just me. I'm also not an NFL athlete, and you know, I don't play anything at the highest level. So who knows? Let's get into the top performers, the guys who do play at the highest level, both on the field and for our fantasy teams. We had three different quarterbacks score 37 points. That was Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Ryan Tannehill, all of whom had four total touchdowns or more, as Tannehill actually had five total touchdowns. But threw for the fewest yards and found him as the number three quarterback on the day. Really just goes to show that, you know, at this point in the year, anything can happen. And you know, you kind of just have to make sure you've got a good matchup as Tannehill found himself. I think that was probably the best thing for the Titans was their matchup this week against the Lions. Really gave them a great opportunity to score a ton of points. At running back, Tony Pollard was the number one running back on the week with 31 points as he had two touchdowns on the ground and added six receptions for 63 yards to the air. Really goes to show, you know, kind of what role he could have there in Dallas if Zeke is out for another week. So definitely go and pick him up. He's available in 55% of Yahoo Fantasy Leagues. David Montgomery had 29 points and Dalvin Cook 26 as they were really, you know, the whole part of their offenses this week against each other. A fantastic game. Who did David Montgomery look like the better running back, Mike?
Oh man, it was, I'm not going to say he looked better than Cook, but he's looked so much better these last few games. It's crazy. Like There's so much tape of him looking just like a garbage truck with a broken wheel. And now he suddenly looks like fast and agile, and he's moving around and waiting for his blocks to set up. I want him to be the starting running back next year. And I was basically like, oh, the whole offense is just garbage. But yeah, I'm excited about him.
Well, I'm glad you didn't fall for the trap. I really thought you were going to say Montgomery was looking better than Dalvin Cook, and then we would really have to question your sanity. Wide receiver today, Calvin Ridley, number one. We'll talk about that Falcons game. Definitely a big surprise to see their offense click so well against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. DeAndre Hopkins, number two. And then Marvin Jones Jr., number three. Is he someone that you're going to be trusting in your fantasy final if he was on your roster?
Yeah, I think you kind of just have to at this point. He's getting a ton of work. They're playing Tampa Bay, who we just saw the Falcons light up at least in one half. If you're going to get 12 targets out of him, you'll take your chances. So I'd get Marvin Jones in your lineup.
Yeah, as Eric said, he's getting tons of work. And again, if you're looking for someone to fill a last spot, you're not like picking between like him and Davante Adams. You're picking between him and some guy who might be seeing three or four targets a game. I think if you've got Jones on your roster, you got to use him.
All right. And then the top tight ends on the day, some pretty typical names who you'd expect to see here. Logan Thomas, the number one tight end on the day. I kind of said that tongue in cheek, but Thomas has been a top six tight end this year. So he has really been performing. Travis Kelce, second tight end on the day. And then Noah Fant, 8 receptions, 68 yards and a touchdown. We're really concerned about Fant, and I mean, the talent was always there, but he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. Drew Lock hasn't been looking his way always. So is Noah Fant back on the menu for the finals?
Yeah, I mean, I will say most of that came in the first half. They really kind of fell apart in the second half. So he looked like he was on his way to a monster day and then just didn't get much. But it's going to be so up and down with Locke. I'm not very impressed with him. He had like one good drive where he was making plays. So, you know, as far as tight ends go, yeah, he's certainly back on the map. But I'd probably say Logan Thomas is safer than him at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to go don't trust Fant. The Broncos passing attack had 132 passing yards and Fant had 68 of them. I don't think it's too common that a tight end gets half the passing yards for a team. So I'm going to say that, no, I do not trust Drew Lock. I think he's, to be kind, garbage. and I don't trust that.
Very kind of you.
Because, I mean, ultimately, yeah. Next week, this could be Jerry Jeudy doing the same thing. We'll be like, do we trust Jerry Jeudy now? It's just they got a lot of talent. They have a quarterback who's not good at utilizing it. And this was Fant's week, but I don't think it'll repeat week to week.
I don't think it'd be Jerry Jeudy. Locke obviously hates Jerry Jeudy. We see all these Twitter highlights of Jeudy juking people wide open and Locke's on the other side of the field doing whatever. So it'll be Tim Patrick. That's who would be getting the ball.
All right. Let's just segue right into this game as the Bills beat the Broncos 48-19. We'll stick with the Broncos offense. Obviously, you know, Fant had the big game, but I think really the interesting thing is that Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay split the carries as they each had 11 carries. Now, Gordon had 4 targets and 20 yards to the air, which definitely helped, but and also the 2 rushing touchdowns. But are you, you know, if you're someone who still has Melvin Gordon and you're still trusting him, does this, you know, kind of scare you in terms of playing him next week as he split the work with Phillip Lindsay?
No, I think he's really been outplaying Phillip Lindsay. I think in years past, we would have thought a lot higher of Phillip Lindsay, but Gordon looks pretty good and he's getting the touchdowns. So, I think he's going to be one of those touchdown dependent guys, kind of like Gurley was earlier in the season when he was playing. But no, I'm feeling pretty good about Gordon in the, you know, grand scheme of running backs. He had 4 catches too, so that helps. So I'm pretty confidently playing him. As always, it depends on the matchup, but against the Chargers, you can run on them. So yeah, I'd get Gordon out there next week.
Yeah, I think Gordon's definitely the more usable. I'll actually say I like Lindsay's talent more. That's not necessarily a statement on Gordon as a player in his career. When he was younger, he would have matched up better. But Gordon's definitely the more useful one. He gets the touchdowns. He's the guy you would start here.
See, I might have agreed with the Phillip Lindsay talent thing before this year, but he just hasn't looked as good as Gordon lately, last maybe half the season. So I definitely understand preferring Lindsay, but I think we've seen enough this year that Gordon, I don't know if he just fits the offense better or what, or if maybe there's some injury stuff going off Lindsay, but I wouldn't want any part of him right now.
Yeah, I would agree. Although I like Lindsay's talent, I'm still going Gordon all the way here as the startable back.
All right. And then, you know, for people who might have just clicked on this game's timestamp, just real quick on Noah Fant, yes or no, is he at the top of the tight end streaming pile for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. As far as the streaming pile, yeah, I mean, he had 11 targets. So he kind of got it all in one half. Kind of the whole offense went away in the second half. Like Mike mentioned, they only threw for 132 yards. So it's just a bad passing offense, which means you can't always predict it. But he's got a lot more upside than a lot of these tight ends are going to have. So he's probably up in the tight end to 8 to 10 range maybe next week. I mean, I'd have to look at my rankings, but definitely get him if he's out there.
Yeah, I'll go contrarian here. I'll say fade him. I like the talent. I like him as a player. If you put him in a good offense, he'd be a weekly starter. I just hate this situation. And if we're looking at 150 to 200 passing yards a week, I don't feel confident he's even going to see 50 of those yards each week.
Let's talk about a couple guys who are rostered less than Noah Fant out there. Might be available in your league. Logan Thomas at 63% rostered.
I like Logan Thomas. So he just passed a big test with Dwayne Haskins this week. So, I would stick with Logan Thomas. He looks locked in no matter who's out there.
Yeah, 100% agree. Just as Eric said, the Dwayne Haskins thing was a big test. It's like, oh, gosh, is Haskins going to look his way? But he did, and it went really well. And, yeah, Thomas over Fant for me for sure.
All right, Zach Ertz at 52% rostered.
Oh, man. That game feels like it just ended. I have to look at what Ertz did, but I think it's got to be Fant.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in Ertz. I'll go Fant over Ertz.
Yeah, Ertz. I mean, I guess Ertz had 7 targets, 2 catches for 69 yards. I wouldn't count on that every week. So, yeah, definitely Fant here.
All right, then let's finish up. Tyler Higbee at 50% rostered.
Fant.
Yeah, I'm probably Fant. I just worry too much that Higbee is going to be splitting the work there. I don't feel confident in either Rams tight end with two of them being there. So, yeah.
Okay. And then with the Bills offense, I mean, obviously Josh Allen had a big day, not just passing, but also rushing as he ran it in for 2 touchdowns. You know, I look here and I see Zach Moss had 81 yards rushing. Devin Singletary had 68 and a touchdown himself. You know, we have to ask every week, is there part of a great offense? But, you know, are Moss or Singletary at all interesting for the Bills here?
So Singletary outsnapped Moss 53-46, which it's kind of been that way for Moss the last few weeks, him getting the upper hand. But I think a little bit of this was garbage time. And when you look at Singletary's stats, he busted a 51-yard touchdown that was just complete garbage time. I mean, you could almost take that one off his stats. If you started him, great, but I wouldn't factor that in. So, no, I think it's still a mess. Singletary's got to break a long one to score a touchdown, and Moss just, you know, he's putting too much of it. So I'm sitting both of them.
I'll say I'm getting a little more excited about it because of that Diggs injury. I think the Diggs injury is going to have a huge impact on the passing game. I think he's an excellent route runner, and he helps get things open for everybody else because everyone knows they have to account for Diggs first. With him gone, I don't think it's going to be so easy for Beasley or Knox or anybody else to see as much work. Moss has definitely been the lead here, so I'm leaning towards, yeah, I'm excited about Moss. I'd probably be able to start him. Singletary has hurt me too much, so I can't go back to him.
All right. Well, I don't think Diggs is out yet, is he? I mean, I think it's he said he was okay, I believe.
Yeah, we don't know yet. You know, he left the game. We'll just have to keep an eye on the practice reports. You know, the fact that we haven't heard anything bad is probably a good sign. Been, you know, a day since the game. And if there's anything serious, we probably would have heard about it by now. So we'll have to see. I mean, they did clinch the AFC East. So this may be a position where, you know, if they don't need him to play, you know, he's not like fully 100%, they may give him an extra week. But with John Brown should be back. He was close to playing this week. So he should be back next week. Might have to rethink the flow chart for Cole Beasley. I don't know what happens if Diggs is out and Brown's in there. We haven't seen that yet. or both of them are out. I don't know. I don't think Cole Beasley is exactly the kind of receiver that can thrive as the only, you know, kind of target there. I don't think he's going to play really well off of like Dawson Knox and Jake Kumerow or anything like that. So we'll have to see. But in terms of Beasley, let's talk about him. He had 10 targets, 8 receptions for 112 yards. Is he someone that you feel comfortable you can keep in the lineup against the Patriots, sans Stephon Gilmore?
Yes, I mean, there's a lot to take in there because it's Patriots have been getting gashed on the ground, but now they lose Gilmore, Bills receivers up in the air. So it's really, it's complicated. But, I mean, Josh Allen looks really good right now. I mean, it's hard to find any holes in his game. I mean, I know occasionally he takes some risks, but for fantasy purposes, man, I just want anyone I can in this passing game. So I don't know. Even John Brown out there at this point, I still might throw Beasley. I mean, it just this time of the year, I'd just rather attach myself to a good offense, and that's certainly the Bills. So they could blow out the Patriots with Gilmore out, and I would want a piece of that passing game.
Yeah, we kind of talked about earlier with Marvin Jones, the volume, and you got to follow the volume. Beasley's got 10-plus targets in four of his last five games. He's got 100-plus yards in three of his last five games. He's got a pair of touchdowns in his last five. Again, not going to light the world on fire completely, but it's good enough for somebody I'm considering as a streamer to get him in my lineup, especially knowing that Diggs might not be 100%. They might try to bring him back slowly, and they're going to have to put those targets somewhere else.
All right, so keep your eye on Steve the Pirate. If you've already got him on your roster, you might want to hang on to him. That's Cole Beasley, by the way. All right, let's talk about the other Saturday game as the Green Bay Packers beat the Carolina Panthers 24-16. Packers, first team in the NFC to 11 wins. And with the Saints lost today, they're the only team there. So they take the lead in the NFC. You know, it's crazy. Aaron Rodgers has never hosted a conference championship game. They've been talking about that a lot this year, and we might see the Packers finally make it to the conference champion as a one seed. Has not happened before, so it should be interesting. The Aarons had good games yesterday. Aaron Jones, 20 carries, 145 yards and a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a ton, only 143 yards, but did have a touchdown through the air and a touchdown on the ground as well. Really, the only person who had a disappointing day was Devontae Adams, since he only had 42 yards receiving on 7 receptions. You know, not every day a guy can get 10 targets and have a disappointing day, but he did. And with them playing Tennessee, though, I have to think Devontae Adams is going to be able to bounce back in a big way.
Yeah, that's a great matchup. Rodgers was sacked 5 times in this one, so that kind of slowed him down. They were up 21-3 at the half. I think they just kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. So, but Tennessee does not get off after the quarterback at all, so that should be a great matchup. Alan Lazard played 77% of the snaps. MVS played 65%. That's Valdez-Scantling. But they kind of seem to be flip-flopping their production. It was Lazard this week, but it could be MVS next week. So I think their receivers are kind of a dart throw at this point behind Devontae Adams.
So what you're saying is you don't necessarily feel like you can trust Alan Lazard, who had six targets, 5 receptions, 56 yards. You don't feel like you can trust him against Tennessee's defense?
I mean, it's a high risk, you know, low floor play. So, I mean, you have a great shot at upside for either of those receivers with Aaron Rodgers and what could be a shootout against Tennessee. So it's definitely worth a shot if you're struggling at receiver. It's just, I mean, MVS, I think, did he even have a catch?
No, he had 0 catches, only one target.
One target. Yeah. But then if you look at the week before, I mean, Valdez-Scantling had a good streak going. So it's hard to predict week to week, but the upside is worth chasing.
Yeah, I would say about this team, obviously Adams will bounce back. He's just way too mega talented to not bounce back. What's going to be tough here is that with one more win, the Packers lock up home field in the NFC. So it's hard to say, like, let's say they got off to a quick start against Tennessee and they kind of roll that game early. We might see some of these names sitting just because, you know, they'd rather get to the playoffs healthy than worry about, you know, everyone getting their specific stats. So knowing that Adams has had some health issues in the past, I think he may have never hit 1,000 yards in a season before this year, something like that, because I know he misses a lot of games. I imagine they're going to put on the kid gloves for him and for Aaron Jones because they know they need them both in the playoffs if they want to make a real Super Bowl run.
Yeah, I just have a hard time thinking that they're going to roll the Tennessee Titans in such a way that those guys aren't going to be able to. I mean, if they roll the Titans, then they're going to have scored so many points in the first half that those guys will have been able to produce. You know what I mean? It's hard to see a game with as good as the Titans offense has been lately where they feel comfortable and safe to take the foot off the gas. And also Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones did not, you know, fully eat during that time that they rolled the Titans. So,
yeah. That's definitely a fair point. With the way the Titans have been scoring, it's unlikely they wouldn't have already gotten whatever they needed for the day if that was the case. So, yeah.
With the Panthers offense, the thing that really jumps out was Robbie Anderson's stat line, only 2 receptions for 21 yards on 5 targets. You know, the Titans really have A.J. Brown as the main guy there, And is Jaire Alexander going to give AJ Brown a hard time to the point that you might think about benching him next week?
Man, I don't think you can. You can't bench AJ Brown. So no, I'm going to play him no matter what. We've seen him make big plays against tough defenses. He's just so physical. So I'm always playing AJ Brown. I would just say for the Panthers passing game, it's just, I think we're seeing the limitations of Teddy Bridgewater. He took a few too many sacks. He's just, you know, he's got to throw some checkdowns. So DJ Moore had a big game. He made some plays, but I think that's more to do with Robbie Anderson's down game than anything. Bridgewater's a fine backup, a fine kind of bridge quarterback, no pun intended, but, but I think they're probably going to be looking for a little more upside going forward. So, it was good to get this year out of these receivers though. We really saw some development from Robbie Anderson, from Curtis Samuel, and then DJ Moore's had a resurgence. So, it looks good going forward for the Panthers.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you sit AJ Brown against anybody. He's a yard after the catch guy. So if he can get a little bit of space, I feel good about him muscling through a corner and turning that 10, 15 yard catch into like a 30, 40, 50 yard catch. As Eric said, I don't put a ton of faith in the Bridgewater. He's decent, but he's not the guy they're looking for. And I think if you gave the Carolina Panthers GM or their brass the truth serum, they would tell you as much. They know he's a solid player, but they know he's not the player. They would rather make a move and bring in their guy and really put the whole offense around him.
Well, so, you know, we talk about how they did, you know, and Teddy Bridgewater's not the best quarterback, but next week they play the Washington football team, who just made the Seattle Seahawks look downright pedestrian. You know, knowing what they just did to, you know, DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson, does that make you nervous about starting DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson?
I'd be a little worried about Robbie Anderson. DJ Moore's kind of been quietly having a really good second half of the season, so I feel pretty comfortable in him. He's been making some big plays. He was the only receiver that had any pass catcher that had a catch over 20 yards in this last game. So I actually like more than Anderson now. I'm sorry, Miles, but I think Anderson's kind of fallen off a little bit. He hasn't been scoring a lot of touchdowns, so Moore would be my favorite, but I agree with you. It's going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah, Moore has definitely righted the ship in terms of being the guy here. He's averaged better than 100 yards a game his last four. We did a stat comparison, I think, like 2 weeks ago, where all three were pretty comparable. If we were to redo that stat comparison, I'm pretty sure Moore would come out as a clear number one, and Anderson and Samuel will be lagging behind him a bit. I feel great about Moore. The other two are tough right now.
All right, and then one player we forgot to talk about was Robert Tonyan. He only had three targets. Caught all three, turned him into 18 yards and a touchdown. So luckily, the touchdown was able to kind of make that day a lot better. My dog did not like the day Robert Tonyan had. I think she started him and needed more than just a touchdown and those 18 yards receiving. She wants to know, was the three targets really just a product of the Packers really kind of just sitting on the ball as they were leading 21-3 at halftime? And if so, can she start him next week against the Titans?
Yeah, I would definitely start him. I mean, this has kind of been his thing. He's was only getting five targets before this one. So he doesn't get a ton of targets. He's a good touchdown threat. I'd keep rolling him out there as you always have.
Yeah, some Tonyan stats for you. In his last five games, he's caught 22 of 23 targets, which is always a really good thing for like an Aaron Rodgers-like quarterback who needs to rely on you and know you can be counted on. He also has a touchdown in each of his last five games. So I think that Rodgers has established a very strong connection here, and I think he will unabashedly go to his guys. Now, Tanyan's not going to see a ton of targets. He's not going to put up like a Logan Thomas 10-12 you know, reception game. But I think he's got a reliable role here, and it's been good for a touchdown a game for a long time now. So if that's enough for you, then that's great. I would still put him over like Noah Fant, for example.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, that's really what they would want at tight end, is just knowing that there's a very good chance that tight end scores a touchdown. All right, let's start talking about Sunday's games. Let's start with, I think, probably the most surprising game of the day, which was the Atlanta Falcons. They ended up losing because it's what the Falcons do, but they put up a lot of points and were up big against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They dropped this one 31-27. Bucks moved to 9-5 on the season. Falcons dropped to 4-10. You know, well out of the playoff hunt, unless they were in the NFC East, which unfortunately, despite being in Atlanta, they are not. Now, the most surprising thing, though, was how they performed. because, you know, I actually wrote the sit start for this game, for our sit start article. And I was talking about how Matt Ryan has finished in the 20s at quarterback in three of the four games that they played without Julio Jones. And the other game, he finished at quarterback 17. And then I also talked about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being a top five pass defense on the year. So that must be like a double negative because they like totally canceled each other out. Matt Ryan had absolutely a fantastic game, throwing for three touchdowns, no interceptions. Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, and Hayden Hurst all scored touchdowns. So what happened with the Falcons today? And is this something that they could repeat next week against the Chiefs, potentially without Julio Jones?
Yeah, I watched a lot of this game. The Falcons started out really hot. They really trailed off in the second half. So they did a lot of this damage early on, I'll say. But it was like Tampa Bay forced them into their optimal game flow here. They such a tough run defense that the Falcons were just passing constantly, which is probably what we want the Falcons to do when they have Ito Smith and Todd Gurley. But Atlanta was just doing play action over and over and over again, and Tampa Bay was biting on it. They were hitting Ridley a ton. I don't know why Tampa Bay was biting on the play action so much, but they were. So I don't know. I think it just the Falcons had a nice game plan in the first half, forced them into it with the Falcons, you know, just inability to run the ball. So overall, they had 38 pass attempts and 11 rushes. So I think that was the main thing here. And it kind of fell apart in the second half. But without Julio, you know, we kind of expect that. So I don't know. This was a better alternative than them just pounding it up the middle with Ito Smith and Todd Gurley. So if they're going to do this every week, that's great. They almost had a bomb of a touchdown to Ridley late that would have really turned things around. So I don't know. He missed a deep touchdown to Russell Gage at one point. So there's a little bit more on the table. But if they're going to pass this much, and they're going to do play action that much, I would feel a lot better about this Falcons offense.
Yeah, I'm still going to doubt here. This kind of reminds me of like a poker thing where somebody wins with a bad hand. And you look at it and you're like, man, how did they win with that? And you kind of like part of you wants to play that kind of hand because you're like, maybe I'll win too. But at the same time, you know that, okay, I shouldn't be playing that hand. Matt Ryan, if somebody beat you playing him, they got lucky. He hasn't been playing well without Julio. He hasn't been putting it together. And this one week he puts it together. It doesn't make me want to buy in. It makes me want to say, okay, forget that happened. Don't get pulled into this. We know the Falcons aren't a very good team. I would say don't buy into it. Still start Ridley, but nobody else.
All right. Well, what if Julio is back next week? How many Falcons would you be willing to start against the Chiefs?
It's still a tough defense, the Chiefs, so we always underrate them. But Julio does make a big difference. So, I mean, you're definitely starting Julio. You're definitely starting Ridley. Matt Ryan, you'd probably go back and forth on all week. I bet he's in that QB 12 to 14 range. I mean, Chiefs have shut down some good quarterbacks. So it definitely bumps him up the rankings, but I think just the streamer territory.
Yeah, definitely Julio and Ridley. Gage, if I'm in a deep league and I'm desperate for another wide receiver, but I'm not going to feel very great about putting him in my lineup. And then Ryan, if I don't have a better streaming option, I'd probably rather go with somebody like Jalen Hurts than him.
What about Hayden Hurst?
He's taken a pretty clear backseat, I think. I mean, he did score a touchdown today, but especially if Julio was out there, I think he'd be the fourth option in the passing game. So I'm not super interested in Hurst going forward.
Yeah, I'm a big no on him. He has basically no touchdown upside, so...
All right. You say as in the game where he scores the touchdown. But no, I completely understand what you're saying. Now, with Tampa Bay, you know, all eyes were on the backfield as Ronald Jones was going to miss the game. He's on the COVID reserve list, and he was also recovering from finger surgery, I believe, to his pinky. And so we're all curious to see what Bruce Arians was going to do with this backfield. Eric, our resident snap count guy, surely has the snap counts for what happened in this backfield. So I'm very curious to see, was Leonard Fournette, you know, truly the guy back here? And if so, doesn't that means good things for Ronald Jones? Should he be healthy next week, right?
Yeah, Fournette was the guy. He had 45 snaps. LeSean McCoy had 12, mainly third down roll. And Keyshawn Vaughn had 10 snaps. So it was clearly Fournette. Early on, Fournette, I thought, looked really washed up. He kind of did throughout the game, but he started to look a little better as he got more work and kind of got into the game. But I don't think he's anywhere near Ronald Jones. He didn't take his job. So they gave Keyshawn Vaughn a shot, and he promptly dropped a pass. Nobody took over this job by any means. You got some nice touchdown volume out of Fournette. But yeah, this is Jones's backfield going forward. I can't imagine they saw something from Fournette that would change their mind if Jones is healthy.
Yeah, and I feel compelled to say on the Hurst topic, that was his first touchdown in the last 8 games. So,
all right, that's fair. So with Ronald Jones next week against the Lions, I mean, this is a Lions defense that just got gashed by Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry gashes everyone, but this is a Lions rush defense that hasn't been very good this year. So I think it's safe to say that if Jones is healthy and able to go, he slots right back in as a starting running back. And if not, is Leonard Fournette still someone that you can stream maybe as a flex or an RB2?
I think for sure on Fournette, well, Jones for sure, he's a starter. And Fournette, yeah, I mean, Fournette saw 14 carries, scored 2 touchdowns. He had 5 targets and 3 catches. And I think there's a 0% chance that LeSean McCoy takes over the backfield, and Keyshawn Vaughn didn't show anything. So yeah, if you give me Fournette in that matchup, I'm going to roll him out there if Jones is out.
All right, and then with the pass catchers, Mike Evans and Antonio Brown led the way with 7 targets. Gronk also had 7 targets, but he was only able to turn that into 3 receptions for 29 yards. And then Chris Godwin trailed behind with only 5 targets, but he did have 4 receptions, 36 yards, and a touchdown. Antonio Brown scored his first touchdown with Tom Brady and the Bucs this year, as he had 5 receptions for 93 yards and a touchdown as well. So, Evans, Brown, Godwin, Gronkowski, are you starting all 4 of them next week with confidence against the Lions?
Man, that's such a great matchup. So, I mean, Evans, he led the way. He had 110 yards. He actually had, I believe, 2 different passes that he could have scored a touchdown on. He came up to short, down to like the 2 and down to the 4. So definitely starting Evans. Antonio Brown looked pretty good in this one. He got loose. I think he got a little, positive momentum going. So I'd start him. Godwin, he's too talented to sit him. He took a back seat here, but they drew up a play for him in the red zone. That was good to see on his touchdown. So, yeah, I think I'm starting all 3 of them. Gronk is kind of – he had his 7 targets. He only turned into 3 for 29. He's kind of fallen off a little bit, but he did have a couple red zone targets in this one. He drew a pass interference in the end zone. So I think Gronk's worth chasing as well. He's getting the work, and you would hope against the Lions he turns it into a little more.
Yeah, I feel best about Mike Evans here because it feels like he has the most unique role of the group. The rest of this is muddy. It's tough because I don't see this kind of yardage coming from Brady week to week. And I feel like I know someone's going to let me down. So if I say start Evans, Brown, Godwin, Gronk, that'll be the day Scotty Miller puts up 100 yards and Brown is a no-show or Evans is a no-show. I think the variability increases a lot. I think most of them will be fine, but I think you're likely week to week to see somebody just crush you because someone's going to get, game planned out and everyone else is going to eat instead.
Yeah. And I will say that the start of this game was really frustrating. I mean, these teams look like they switched bodies in the first half. Like Tampa Bay looked terrible and they gave like all their targets to like Scotty Miller, Keyshawn Vaughn, Fournette, LeSean McCoy, like all these just like Cameron Brate, all these like suboptimal targets early on. And it wasn't until the second half they started feeding Evans and Godwin and Antonio Brown. And if they would just do that from the start, I would love this passing game. But they get in these, in these game scripts or whatever where it's just these terrible targets. They're not getting anything done. And then once they kind of realize, hey, we've got 3 really talented receivers, let's get the ball to them. Then they kind of kick things into gear. So I don't know if that's Brady's fault or Arians' fault, but it's really frustrating to watch.
Well, we know Arians will throw Brady under the bus on that one. So if he doesn't, then clearly it must be Arians' fault. All right, let's talk about the Chicago Bears moving to 7-7 as they beat the Minnesota Vikings 33-27. Really fantastic game from David Montgomery, who we touched on a little bit already, as he had 146 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns and had another 16 yards receiving as well. The thing that really stood out to me here was, not in a good way, was Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham splitting up 5 targets between the two of them. We were really excited about Kmet as his targets had been going up and up and up. And obviously that did not happen this week. So, Mike, I know you watched this game. Is Kmet someone that we can trust? I mean, it's the Jaguars next week. I want to start everyone in this Bears team. So can I still start Cole Kmet?
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, coming off 2 weeks where we saw 7 targets each, part of the problem here was the game script. The Bears finally took a lead and actually decided to run the ball, as we said earlier. Last game, they took a big lead, and I think they ran it like 11 times with Montgomery. This week they actually committed to the run, ran it like 40 plus times, which I don't think I've seen all season. And the result was a lot of the pass catchers lost some work. We had Allen Robinson with only 5 targets. The 2 tight ends combined with 5 targets. Those numbers have looked a lot higher in the last few weeks. Again, I think the coach and the coaching and the GM know that they're playing for their jobs right now. They know that basically their future with this team is on the line. And if they're going to be running more, I definitely am not as convinced about either tight end. I think Jimmy Graham is more ready to help them win now because he's experienced as that red zone weapon. And he's been, you know, he's been a big time player longer. To answer that question, I'm not excited to start Komet now. I feel like he and Graham are going to split the work, and there's not enough work to go around for both of them.
Got it. And I mean, if that's the case, we should expect that they'll have a good game script against the Jaguars next week, as most teams have been beating up on the Jaguars. So, you know, that's something to definitely be looking into. Does that make, you know, Allen Robinson? I mean, Allen Robinson's still a must start, but someone might look at this and look at what Darnell Mooney did today, 4 receptions, 49 yards, a touchdown, and tied for the team lead in targets, see the matchup against the Jaguars next week. Would you say that that would be a mistake, Mike, to stream Darnell Mooney against the Jaguars?
Oh, that's tough. I think kind of like what we said with Tampa Bay, it's going to depend on what the game script gives them, and I think they'll happily lean into the game script. So if it happens to be the tight ends are open, you could see that big day from Komet or Graham, or they could split a big day between them. Mooney's taken a lot of steps forward this year. I like what I see a lot from him. And in Dynasty, he's someone I would try to be heavily investing in because it looks like with the cap situation, the Bears will be getting rid of Allen Robinson for next year. So Mooney and Anthony Miller are going to be the guys, and Mooney has shown me a lot more this year. I think he's usable as a streamer, but the low number of targets would still scare me. 5 targets for a rookie isn't great. I think he's got a good chance at a touchdown. He's a fast player. He's pretty good with the ball in his hands, but he'd be pretty low on my list of guys I would want to start for the coming week.
Okay. And then with the Vikings offense, you know, Dalvin Cook did his thing, 132 yards rushing and a touchdown, added 27 yards on 5 receptions on the ground. But what really stood out was, you know, we talked about him earlier, with, Mike's winner on the day, Justin Jefferson. You know, it wasn't just that he had, you know, 8 receptions for 104 yards, which, you know, for most rookie wide receivers would be probably their best game on the year. For Jefferson, it's just his 6th, you know, game of above 100 yards receiving. But, you know, Adam Thielen only had 3 targets in this game. Now, granted, he did score a touchdown, and that's pretty typical. Thielen is getting a lot of the red zone work. But in a game where the Vikings, you know, threw the ball 35 times, only 3 of the targets went to Adam Thielen. So, I don't know. I mean, they play the Saints next week. Eric, do you feel at all concerned about starting Adam Thielen?
I think you just got to put him out there unless you're just loaded. He's just such a good red zone role. I would imagine this is more who he is matched up against in the Bears secondary. Mike could tell us more about that. But no, I'm still going to be playing Thielen. I'll go down swinging with players like that. I'm not going to overthink it with him.
Yeah, I would still say Thielen's a must start. He's sitting on I think he's sitting on 13 touchdowns on the year, which is like 1 a game. And kind of like we say with the tight ends, if your guy's got a locked in red zone role and it's reliable and it stays reliable, you got to go with him. And I think this is pretty much the absolute floor with Thielen. It looks like the safety coverage was kind of leaning over towards Thielen. That being said, I think Jefferson's still going to be the top threat in that receiving core. But there's enough for Thielen where I think this is going to be just kind of a little blip, and next game we'll see more from him.
Yeah, I wonder if Jefferson's done enough to warrant shadow coverage from Marshawn Lattimore next week. Who knows? It's going to be tough to see. I mean, the Saints defense did a pretty good job of limiting the Chiefs' offense. The Chiefs' offense did not look comfortable today. Let's put it that way. And so I would definitely be concerned if I'm starting these Vikings against that Saints defense. But the Eagles did well against them. So, you know, I guess maybe the Vikings could too. And Jefferson and Thielen have been so good lately. It is hard to justify benching them. You know, they've gotten you this far for sure. All right, let's talk about the Texans-Colts game, because this AFC South division race, I think, is the best division race in football this year. The Colts and the Titans are, after both of them winning today, are still tied atop the AFC South. So it's been really interesting to watch these two teams duke it out. With the Colts offense, you know, it really doesn't matter what they did this week, because they play the Steelers next week. And do any of us have the guts to start anyone other than Jonathan Taylor against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No, I think that would be it. I mean, Hilton kind of came back to earth a little bit here, so that'd be a tough start. Yeah, I think it's pretty much just Jonathan Taylor on the Colts side of the ball.
Yeah, if Hilton had had the 2-touchdown game instead of Zach Pascal, I would probably go with him. But, of course, he disappears and Pascal becomes the lead dog, and it makes me want to start nobody but Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We could talk about Phillip Rivers and you know, the day that he had, but it all came against the Texans defense, and no one popped to the point where, again, Texans defense, Steelers defense are two very different defenses. So if you streamed Phillip Rivers today, probably weren't the happiest with his game, but it didn't kill you, and now you can drop him and hopefully go get yourself like Jalen Hurts. On the Texans side of the ball, let's talk about the most interesting thing that happened, which was 11 targets for David Johnson. How, why, and will it happen again?
Yeah, that's pretty wild. It was shocking to see that. Duke Johnson was out, so DJ played 55 of 69 snaps. But yeah, I mean, this is a total outlier in his passing game work. I suppose it's just a combination of no Duke and, you know, the banged up receiving core. But yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw that. I didn't catch as much of this game as some of the others, and I was not expecting 11 catches on 11 targets for 106 yards from David Johnson. So I don't know. I would have an awful hard time thinking that's going to happen again, but it definitely, it's better than it was where he was getting like 2-3 targets a game. So if we get a little bit of a passing game roll, that definitely boosts his value. Next week they have
the Bengals.
Yeah. So you're going to be playing them.
Houston was playing from behind pretty much all game. They tied it up late in or midway through the fourth quarter, but that was about it. Other than that, they were playing from behind. So I wonder if that had a lot to do with it and why they were throwing the ball so much. They threw 41 times compared to 21 rush attempts, and 6 of those were Deshaun Watson himself. So I doubt most of those were designed run plays. Watson usually gets up and scrambles more than has actual designed run plays. So they really were dropping back to throw almost all game long. And I can't imagine them doing that against Brandon Allen or Ryan Finley or whoever and the Bengals. So I don't know if we can expect that again. But then again, the Bengals defense, I'm not sure how much they can stop David Johnson on the ground. So either way, are you feeling good about starting David Johnson?
I mean, you make a good point. I mean, if we get 25 carries out of David Johnson and not as many targets, that's probably not a real exciting game. I mean, I'm looking back, like the Jaguars, he had 17 carries for 96 yards. Like, I think maybe that's more of his upside most weeks. So, you know, he'll have a good, decent game. He might get you a touchdown. But yeah, maybe we do want him in losing games because that 11 targets for 106 yards is awesome in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I think the scientific explanation here is, you know, when you like you clog a hose and you kink it, and when you release it, the water jets out and explodes. They kinked David Johnson for like the last like 10 games, and they finally unkinked it, and all the catches just shot out of the system.
Mike always bringing the fantastic analogies. Yeah, the David King Toes Johnson, I think, is going to be the new nickname now. Brandon Cooks and Kiki QT each had 7 targets in this game. I think so this is now 2 out of the last 3 weeks that QT has, you know, done well. 5 receptions, 53 yards and a touchdown. Certainly better than 3 for 24 and a touchdown like he had last week. But last week he did not have Brandon Cooks. So I wonder if this is going to continue a trend where QT is good as the number 2. As long as he has someone like Cooks there to take the pressure off him. You know, they may not be needing to throw the balls a ton against the Bengals, but, you know, should be pretty high value touches for Cooks and QT. So are you starting both of them against Cincinnati next week?
Yeah, so Cooks, I'd get out there. It was his first game back from injury, and you know, 7 targets, 6 catches. I think that's pretty encouraging. He should be better next week. Kiki QT, he had the killer fumble on the final drive. They were going in to tie it and got punched out from behind. I mean, it was a really nice play by the Colts, but he had an awful fumble there. But he actually, I mean, I guess he almost had 2 touchdowns. So I don't think it's, you know, Bill O'Brien probably would have benched him for the next 3 weeks. Doesn't seem like the Texans are going to do that at this point. So he's probably still a solid play. Chad Hansen had 2 catches for 55 and a touchdown, but that was one big touchdown on kind of like a broken play. He was just wide open. So yeah, I think Cooks and QT are probably both startable. I think the Bengals defense will give up enough that even if they are ahead, they should both have a solid day. So we saw Jordan Akins pop up with 5 for 50. We kind of always wait for him to break out, and he's just so inconsistent that I wouldn't count on that next week, and that would open up some more work for the receivers as well.
Yeah, I don't think this is a team that'll go away quietly. Between J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson, they have these big personalities that are very competitive. And every team sure has competitive personalities, but these are two, like, J.J. Watt was one of these all-time great defenders. Deshaun Watson's looking like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And those kind of guys strike me as like, okay, we're not happy with 4-10. We want to push for 6-10. We don't care if the season's over. Like, we still want those two wins just for pride. So I think the team will play hard throughout. And yeah, I like Cooks and I like QT both as weapons here.
Yeah, right, I would agree with that. Watson's playing hard. So sorry, Miles. But yeah, Watson's really playing hard. And I don't think this team's going to quit anytime soon.
No, you're all good, Eric, because I was about to move on to the Titans' drubbing of the Detroit Lions as they beat them 46-25 and really just laid it on thick because they entered the fourth quarter winning 24-18. So then they really just popped off in the fourth quarter. Derrick Henry had 147 yards today, and that actually is below the pace that he needs to get to 2,000 yards as he needed 156 yards per game. He just fell just short of that. So he still needs 321 yards over the next two games to get to 2,000. I think that's going to be a tall task. But with the Colts winning, the Titans are probably going to need to win each of the next 2 weeks to clinch the division. So there's a good chance that the Titans will be going into week 17 with something to play for, and they'll be playing against the Texans then. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think Derrick Henry, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being he's definitely getting it, 1 being he's definitely not getting it. Where are you putting Derrick Henry on the 2000 watch?
1, he's getting it. Sorry, I zoned out for a minute. 1, he's getting it.
One, he's definitely not getting it.
Okay, thanks for walking me through that. Actually, I think that's pretty doable. I'd give him like a 7. They kind of rested him at the end of this one, too. It could have been more. So, yeah, if they still have to fight for this division and the games are close, I think he can have a good shot at getting there.
I'm going to say a 4. 160 yards is a big ask for anybody, even if you're having an amazing season. And to do it two games in a row after two really good games is tough. And then we'll just throw in the tough competition next week when they're going to be playing, I believe, Green Bay. That's a big ask for me. It's definitely doable. It wouldn't shock me. I would just say more than likely it won't happen.
Yeah, I mean, 160 yards, two games in a row, that's tough. It doesn't matter who you're playing. I mean, we thought this game was going to be a fantastic one, and he had a fantastic game, and he only had 147 yards. Yeah. So
that's true.
Yeah, definitely tough. But that's okay. Eric, I like your aggressiveness with the 7. I like your belief in Derrick Henry. I want to see him do it. It would be fantastic. We don't see it very often, so it'd be really cool to see. And then we'll all have to watch in horror as Derrick Henry's career just kind of, you know, fades into the background after, you know. And that's what happens to the running backs. Happened to DeMarco Murray. He didn't even get to 2,000 yards. Anyway, so with Tennessee's offense, you know, they're going up against the Packers next week. We mentioned Jaire Alexander earlier and how you guys are not scared of starting A.J. Brown. Anyway, are you at all scared about starting Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith, who's apparently alive and well, as he had 5 targets, 5 receptions, and 52 yards today?
I'm not ready to trust Jonnu Smith yet. I mean, if he's a streamer and you need, you know, you're just sick of your option, then sure, take a shot. But he's burned me too many times this year. Corey Davis, yeah, I'm getting him out there. He actually was wide open for a second touchdown in garbage time that Tannehill threw over his head. So could have been an even bigger day. He had that huge 75-yarder. So, yep, I'm starting A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Derrick Henry, and probably Tannehill too. I mean, Tannehill was one of those, everyone was afraid they were going to get up big and just give it all to Derrick Henry and he wouldn't have a good game. And I think it's just proof that if you have a good matchup, don't worry about that kind of stuff. I mean, Henry still got 147 yards and Tannehill scored 5 touchdowns. So he's playing really good football right now.
I would probably lean away from Tannehill. I don't think the ceiling is there. Now I say that, and obviously he just hit 270 and 3 touchdowns. So, you know, as well as 2 rushing touchdowns, but typically, we haven't been seeing a lot of 300 games from him. So I think there's some ceiling. I just think there's more with other guys that we've mentioned before, like Jalen Hurts, who's probably out there. As far as the other guys, I'm still like Corey Davis. He's putting a good run up now. I still like A.J. Brown, and I still like, obviously, Derrick Henry. But that would be it, those three.
All right. Well, I mean, next week they play the Packers, and the Titans are almost certainly going to need to throw. to keep up with the Packers offense. So, you know, I know Tannehill doesn't usually throw for a ton of yards, but might have a lot of opportunity next week against Green Bay. Now with the Lions, you know, they scored 25 points today, and pretty much all their fantasy relevant players had good days. DeAndre Swift scored 2 touchdowns on the ground, and Marvin Jones had that big day. Really, it was just disappointing for TJ Hawkinson, as he only had 2 receptions for 18 yards. What happened with Hawkinson?
I mean, Hunter Bryan had a 44-yard catch and had 2 targets. Maybe they're working him in a little more, but Jesse James had a target and a catch. But Hawkinson's been too consistent. It's tight end's a rough position, so I would very quickly overlook this one bad game.
Yeah, same. I'll lean back on Fant just because he was one of those guys we were talking about earlier as, like, where does he rank? I still have Hawk above Fant just because Hawkinson's done it a number of games in a row. He's got a better quarterback. He's got a better passing offense. And I would, ultimately trust him more.
And now they do play Tampa Bay next week. Tampa Bay's been fantastic against the run. Normally, they've been good against the pass, obviously today notwithstanding. So, you know, are you willing to, you know, still keep your trust in Hawkinson, in Jones, and in DeAndre Swift against the Buccaneers?
Yeah, just because I know they're not the worst pass defense in the world, but teams are forced to pass it on them because they can't run. So you should get a lot of opportunities. So I like all of them. For Swift, it was encouraging for me today that he fumbled leaping over the pile near the goal line. It was a big play in the game, but they still went right back to him. He got a touchdown later in the half. He had some nice patience on that run, but they didn't go away from him after that fumble. Swift saw 42 snaps. Adrian Peterson saw 16, and Kerryon Johnson saw 8. So I was really encouraged with Swift. It's going to be rough against Tampa Bay, though, but maybe get some passing game work. He's going to be at the back end of probably RB2 types, but just overall, it was encouraging that he made a mistake and they went back to him.
Yeah, Swift was second on the team today with 5 targets, and he typically does get a good number of targets. They really trust him in the passing game. So, good to see him out there and playing well. This is his first good game after missing quite some time with the concussion. So, it's good to see that from him. And then with Marvin Jones, you're right. They're definitely going to need to throw against Tampa Bay, but, I just don't know. It's Marvin Jones is just such a hot and cold wide receiver. It's tough. But he's been good lately, and I guess we'll have to see. I mean, does Kenny Galladay's status affect it? Never mind. He's not going to play again.
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys beating the San Francisco 49ers in what might be the weirdest 41-33 game ever. The Cowboys put up 41 points, and like Andy Dalton didn't really have a great day, and the Cowboys scored. I mean, the game ended with like 2 of the flukiest touchdowns you'll ever see, with CeeDee Lamb scoring on the onside kick return, Kendrick Bourne pulling in a last second Hail Mary, like literally last second, which also normally you just see teams usually kneel out at that point because the 49ers were already down by 2 touchdowns. So just really weird all the way around. Let's start with the Cowboys offense. Tony Pollard was picked up in 150,000 Yahoo leagues today. As everyone knew, Ezekiel Elliott was out, but he is still available in 55% of leagues. Between Tony Pollard, Jalen Hurts, and Salvon Ahmed, who's available in 66% of leagues, who is your waiver priority on Tuesday?
That's tough only because we don't know that Pollard's going to play, that he's going to be the lead back. If Zeke misses again, it's Pollard. Hurts right behind that. They would be ahead of Ahmed for me. But, I will say for Pollard, he had 69 yards rushing with a long of 40. So it wasn't that great. I know it was against a tough San Francisco defense. But the most encouraging thing was 9 targets, 6 catches for 63 yards. So I would prioritize Pollard unless you just really need quarterback. And then I would go Hurts.
Yeah, I think I agree. Obviously, the situation is going to factor in, but we liked Pollard before. We always said if Zeke was out, we wanted Pollard. And now Zeke is out, and now Pollard hit a home run. And this is the definition of a league winner, you know? Zeke sits next week, Pollard hits another home run next week, and people are saying, man, Pollard won me my championship.
Well, they do play the Eagles' run defense, and they did do a great job bottling up Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds today. So, it's tough. I'm not sure which of the three I would go after. Obviously, I think roster construction matters because whether you need a running back or quarterback are two very different things. But I'm not so sure that I would have Pollard above Salvon Ahmed personally after the way he played today. Now with the Cowboys receiving Amari Cooper, absolutely devastating day to day. A lot of people out there relying on him, and he's been consistent all year. This is only the third time that he has not had at least 10 points in PPR. You know, three targets was what, fifth on the team behind even Noah Brown, who had six targets today. So can we continue? Can we trust Amari Cooper again next week if you manage to make it to the championship despite his performance today?
So one thing I'll say is that the 49ers fumbled twice, like real early on in the game, and just kind of handed the Cowboys a good start. So they, I mean, it was only 17-14 at the half, but like the Cowboys were pretty much always in the lead or, you know, tied. It was always close. So I don't know if they had fallen behind, I think it'd be a bigger game from Cooper. They just kind of were able to run the ball and, you know, take it easy on Dalton against a tough San Francisco defense. So, it's just a bad game from Cooper for sure. But, and it's disappointing to see CeeDee Lamb and Gallup out target him, but, I think I would go back to him next week. It just depends on how loaded you are. But, like you said, he's been so consistent this year. I think you have to look past one bad game.
Yeah, I would forgive him. I've been a Cooper hater in the past, but given how his year's gone, I would forgive him for this and roll with him.
Would you be interested in going back to the CeeDee Lamb well? I know he's been really inconsistent since Dak went down, and we've really liked him as a player. He just hasn't been able to like actually produce. But today, five receptions for 85 yards on seven targets, second on the team in targets. I don't know if you guys feel like you're comfortable starting him next week.
I'd still be pretty skeptical. I mean, he saw 33 out of 58 snaps, so he's not getting like the full workload that Cooper gets. He just really has to make it happen on his few chances. So I'd still probably want to sit him, but I think it'd just be Cooper in this passing game. I don't know. Like we said earlier, Gallup, if he's hurt or not, maybe that funnels some more targets towards Lamb. But it'd be a tough sell for me to play him in the championship.
Yeah, I'm sitting Lamb. I love his talent, but he's not there yet.
All right, and then on the San Francisco side of the ball, I mean, Brandon Ayuk continues to be fantastic. Nine receptions, 73 yards, and a touchdown. You can definitely start him next week against the Cardinals. With Mostert and Wilson, is this going to come down to whether Mostert is healthy or not? If you're interested in starting Jeff Wilson Jr., who had 60 yards on 16 carries and a touchdown today?
Yeah, so we talked about this some in the injury section up front, but I will mention that both Mostert and Wilson came up just short on a touchdown run a couple times. I mean, they were stuffed on some goal line runs. They had some long runs where they were tackled just short. That's where Ayuk got his touchdown. He got a jet sweep touchdown on fourth down. So that both of their days could have been a lot better. I think I would be willing to start maybe both of these guys, definitely Wilson, but depending on Mostert's health. But I don't know. I thought they looked pretty good. They were getting some good work on the ground, and it could have been a better day than this.
Yeah, my hope here would be if I had my option of either that Mostert sitting so Wilson gets, you know, more of the workload. If they're both starting, I'm going to lean Mostert, though. I've seen more from him, so.
All right. Now let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks beating the Washington football team 20-15. Mike, I know you want to say it. Go ahead. Say it. Say your fun fact about the NFC East.
So the NFC East, thank you, by the way. It will be the first division ever guaranteed to never have a winning record for the whole season, which is just an outstanding stat. The previous record had been through week six, so they added another 10 weeks onto that.
Ooh, so exciting. Yeah, NFC East, one of the all-time worst divisions in the history of the NFL. Washington football team dropped to 6-8 today, so that's why we know they're never going to have any team with a winning record, because even if they win each of the next two games, they will finish at 8-8, which, by the way, would be the most poetic thing for the NFC East, for the division winner to be 8-8, because that's just like our – I think we're the division that does that more than anyone else. But I, honestly, personally, I'm really rooting for a 6-10 division winner. I just think that would be hysterical. I don't know how many times that has happened in NFL history. I'm sure not many. We talked a lot about the Seahawks offense during the winners and losers section, because the entire Seahawks offense was Mike's loser. So if you want to hear more on them, jump up back to that point in the podcast. But here's a real quick recap. They didn't look good today against Washington, and they have the Rams next week, and they didn't look good against the Rams earlier in the year. So if you want to roll the dice with Metcalf or Lockett or Wilson, you know, go for it. But, I mean, Eric said he would even start Jalen Hurts over Russell Wilson. I believe that's what you said, right, Eric? Do you want to?
I would add Jalen Hurts if I had Russell Wilson, and I would probably agonize over it all week. But I mean, 121 yards passing for Wilson, you know, one touchdown. And like you said, Rams are a tough defense. So I wouldn't fault you. Hurts blew those numbers out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, last time they met up, Wilson had zero touchdowns, two interceptions, was sacked six times. That was against the Rams. So, and this Washington football team, their defense is probably just as good as the Rams. So this is kind of a mini picture for what you might be able to expect next week in your fantasy championship. So I would definitely be ready to have other options if you were, you know, so daring to bench Metcalf or Chris Carson, you know, in your fantasy championship. With the Washington football team offense, I think that's more interesting because – you know, Dwayne Haskins, we talked about him early on in the season. He was looking Logan Thomas's way and they could not connect. Well, today they definitely connected. 13 receptions, 101 yards, led the team with 15 targets. Is this something that we can expect again next week against Carolina?
Yeah, this was interesting. I mean, Washington scored 12 in the fourth quarter to really fight back here. They were down, 20 to 3 in the fourth quarter. So Haskins threw 55 times and it really looked like they'd beaten into his head, like the Alex Smith, like check down thing. Cause Logan Thomas had 15 targets. McKissick had 10, which we normally wouldn't see from Haskins in the past, I feel like. So it kind of seemed like a new Haskins. It was kind of a bummer to see him check down so much. 295 yards on 55 attempts isn't great. But he started to run towards the end. He picked up some first down with the legs. So I was kind of, I mean, it's not an exciting option and not an exciting offense, but I was a little encouraged with him. He didn't completely fall apart and he almost willed him back to a victory here. So yeah, I think we're pretty confident with Logan Thomas and Terry McLaurin, you know, wasn't great, but he had 12 targets and 77 yards. So Logan Thomas, McLaurin and McKissick are good to go for me. We'll see what happens with Antonio Gibson if he comes back, but I don't know. It could have been worse from Haskins. That's I guess my takeaway here.
Yeah, I agree on that. It boils down to Logan Thomas, Terry McLaurin, J.D. McKissick. The three of them are startable. I still don't trust Haskins, but he was good enough today to make the weapons useful. So as long as he can be that good, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's out there looking to start Haskins, but as you said, you know, as long as he can make those three players interesting and you know, good fantasy assets. Now, again, keep an eye on Antonio Gibson's health. As well as Alex Smith's, I don't think it's guaranteed that Dwayne Haskins is going to be the starter again next week. So, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on that and what that might mean for everyone. But Alex Smith has been good for Logan Thomas and J.D. McKissick as well. So you have to expect that they would probably be good again against Carolina next week. All right, let's talk about the Miami Dolphins beating the New England Patriots in probably the most boring game of the 1 o'clock games today. The Dolphins win 22-12. Clinching, by the way, a couple of things here for the Patriots. The Patriots have been eliminated for the playoffs. This is the first time since 2008 when they were eliminated under Matt Castle. They did go 11-5 and they were only eliminated by tiebreakers. But that's the last time they didn't make the playoffs. And then, even more incredible, this is the first time they will not have a winning season since 2000 when they went 5-11 under Drew Bledsoe. So quite the run here from the Patriots, and it all comes to an end in their very first year without Tom Brady. I have exactly one note for the Patriots offense, and it is a question. Is there anything interesting in the Patriots offense that is worth chasing next week?
Well, I mean, Jacoby Myers sure had a big workload. 7 catches, 111 yards on 10 targets. He has these games where he's just the entire passing game, so he would be mildly interesting in a deep league. And then Sony Michel filling in for whoever was out for them. Thank you, Damian Harris. He had 10 carries for 74. So, I mean, he's doing a Damian Harris impression. So those would be the only two. Everyone else you can look past.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass up on everybody here. Next week the Patriots have the Bills. And I think the Bills are going to really relish the chance to just kick the snot out of New England as on their way to a division championship, the first one since like 1999, I think. I think there was a stat that the Colts have won the AFC East more recently than the Bills, and the Colts haven't been in the AFC East for like 20 years.
Yeah, the Bills, the last time they won the division was 1996.
Yeah, so I think the Bills are going to relish the chance to just destroy this team, and I don't like this offense in the first place. So, yeah, I'm not going to start anybody here.
Yeah, I would also note that there's no telling what Bill Belichick's going to do with the team these last 2 weeks when they're out of it. We've never seen this before. So who knows who's going to be on the field. It'd be a little scary.
All right, and then the Dolphins have the Raiders next week. Salvon Ahmed today had 23 carries, 122 yards, and a touchdown. Matt Breida was alive. He had 12 carries for 86 yards, which is like 60 more yards than I think we would ever expect out of Matt Breida. And then from the pass catchers, I mean, everyone was out this game. Devontae Parker, Jakeem Grant, Mike Gesicki were all out. And Lynn Bowden Jr. led the way, 7 targets, 6 receptions, and 37 yards. So against the Raiders, you know, are we just waiting and seeing what's happening with all the health of basically every relevant Dolphins player before we make any decisions on who's interesting?
Yeah, it's going to be really health dependent, but I mean, it's a great matchup against the Raiders. This was a perfect matchup against the Patriots to run the ball. As we noted earlier on, they've struggled against the run. So Salvon Ahmed saw 44 snaps, Breida 18, Laird 8. I will say this is the first game I think that Breida's really shown something. He looked fast. He looked healthy. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them work him in. And we don't know when Gaskin's going to come back. So it could get a little muddled in the backfield. If they're not able to run the ball 42 times, it may not be this productive. But, yeah, I mean, their running game looked great. So I would want to take shots on whoever you can in that backfield. It's just we're definitely wait-and-see mode.
And is this the same thing for the receiving core? Are we in wait-and-see mode on Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki to determine if Lynn Bowden Jr. is still interesting enough to stream at running back? Or did you guys see enough today to know that he is or is not someone that you might want to stream there?
I mean, he's, you know, 7 targets, 6 catches for 37 yards. He's definitely going to get squeezed out at some point if too many of these players come back. But I think he's earned a role. I just don't know if you could start him. So, yeah, once you get Gesicki and Devontae Parker and the running backs healthy, you probably can't play him anymore. But I'd hang on to him just to see what happens.
Yeah, look, I mean, thinking about this game again, I think Miles, I think you were saying earlier, Salvon Ahmed would be your top waiver ad. I think I would have to agree with you. I think this is his backfield. And with Pollard, it was, you know, he had that one big play in the run game. I think Salvon Ahmed offers a lot more safety in terms of he's getting more touches. He's getting more looks. Yeah, I would have to go with him as my number one waiver ad if he's out there.
Yeah, he's worth it. But I mean, Gaskin's on the COVID IR, so maybe he's back, and then who knows what happens. So it's just, it's worth the risk.
I was going to say, I mean, you're agreeing with me, and that always feels good. But at the same time, I have to admit, Miles Gaskin coming back is going to throw a huge wrench in that. So that is going to, you know, be really what determines how interesting Salvon Ahmed is. I think for me, when Gaskin's healthy, he's been the guy. So it's hard to see, you know, Ahmed get this kind of workload again if Gaskin is back. But there's no guarantees on that. Okay. The Ravens beat up on the Jacksonville Jaguars today. Jaguars dropped to 1-13, tied with another team. Ooh, let's not get ahead of ourselves. The Ravens are now 9-5. Every team blows out the Jaguars. Start everyone against the Jaguars. We did talk about the Bears earlier today. You know, they're the team that gets to play the Jaguars next week. So Allen Robinson, David Montgomery, that's pretty much it, sadly. But with the Ravens, you know, Hollywood Brown had a big game. Mark Andrews had a big game. J.K. Dobbins pretty much has the backfield, not to himself, but we finally got Mark Ingram out of there. So Dobbins is definitely interesting. Now the Ravens play the Giants next week. Who are you interested in starting from this offense?
I mean, the offense is looking a lot better for sure. I mean, Lamar's back as a clear starter. Dobbins is a clear starter. Yeah, I guess we have to buy into Marquise Brown at this point. Mark Andrews, we're definitely starting. Gus Edwards, like if you're in deep leagues, I mean, he still saw 27 snaps to Dobbins 35. So Gus Edwards is out there. He gets some touchdown work. So he's even on the radar for deep leagues. So, yeah, this offense just looks a lot better. And they've kind of rebounded from that bottom they had in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I was going to fight you on Marquise Brown, but I looked back at his stats, and he's had the three games before this, he pulled in a touchdown each game. And the target numbers have definitely bounced back up from where they were for a lot of this season. So I think I agree. It's Brown. It's obviously still Andrews. Andrews was never really in question. It's still Lamar Jackson, and then it's Dobbins at running back.
Yeah, and one thing I thought was encouraging for Dobbins, you know, he is a smaller back. You might worry kind of CEH, you know, has trouble scoring, but they had a really creative play for him in the red zone. They did like a motion to the right and then brought it back to the left and had a fullback out in front of him for the touchdown. So that was good to see for Dobbins, finding creative ways instead of just running him up the middle in the red zone.
Then with Jacksonville's offense, obviously they did not do very well today, and it's hard to I really trust any of them, especially as they play the Bears. So, you know, a lot of tough defenses for them on the on their schedule. You know, Ravens hit Bears next week. James Robinson really struggled today, 16 carries for 35 yards. Can we trust him against the Bears? And is there anyone in the pass game that we want?
It's going to be tough. I mean, James Robinson had a nice catch on a wheel route for a touchdown that kind of salvaged his day. But we mentioned up top in the injury section, he left with an ankle injury. We have no idea if it's serious or not. But, I mean, at some point, the Jaguars are going to rest players that they think have a future here. And you would think Robinson has a future. So I would just be really worried he's going to get a huge workload going forward. I mean, even if it's down to like 60%, do we want to play 60% of the snaps, James Robinson, against the Bears? So, yeah, it's trouble. If you have Robinson, you should probably be happy with what you got, but maybe start playing him for other options.
Yeah, to jump on that, the only guy I'm considering here is Robinson. The Bears defense did look better today. It's still not at that elite level. We've seen it in the recent past, but it did look better. And this was against the talented team in the Vikings with, you know, stud running back, a stud wide receiver, another really good wide receiver. Yeah, short answer, I don't think I could start anybody on the Jaguars except for maybe Robinson.
Okay. We have the Super Bowl, potential Super Bowl preview, and it was a great game between the Chiefs and the Saints. Chiefs pull out the win 32-29. They moved to 13-1 on the season. Saints dropped to 10-4 and are second in the NFC for the first time in a long time. But Drew Brees was back today. He looked awful to start the game. Saints, I don't think, had a first down for like their first four drives. Or something to that effect. It was definitely like they had a tough time at the start, but you know they crawled their way back into it. You know, I don't know if there's really too much to take away because we've seen the Saints offense before with Brees. I think he started really getting into rhythm about halfway through the game, and he should have an easier time next week as they play not the Chiefs, because the Chiefs had a really good defense. Yeah, the Saints should have an easier time next week as they play the Vikings, as opposed to the Chiefs, who the Chiefs are really giving them fits early on in the game. So, but I mean, I want to say Alvin Kamara's back, but he only had six targets. You know, he had more targets last week under Taysom Hill. So, I don't know. What do you guys think of the Saints offense, the way they look today under Brees?
Yeah, I think we have to start at Brees. And like I said up front, he was almost my loser, and then he kind of salvaged it a little bit. And I'm kind of giving Drew Brees the benefit of the doubt and the Vikings next week. Those are all reasons not to bail, but I don't know. I thought it was pretty discouraging overall. He looked really bad early on. He had a couple – he almost threw a pick into double coverage thrown to Taysom Hill on, like, the first drive, and he threw into triple coverage in the end zone in the second half. That should have been a pick. Taysom Hill came in the red zone for him, like, one of their first trips. I don't know. I think Brees was pretty fortunate. He threw for 234 yards, but they hit a 51-yarder where the defense kind of fell asleep, it seemed like. And you take that out, you take out some of these passes to the running backs that went for long plays. This could have been a really ugly day for Brees. I mean, he had a drive towards the end where they were down by double digits. So I don't know. I mean, there was a good chunk of the game where I was really like, why are they even playing him? Why isn't Taysom Hill out there? So I'm worried about this offense. It may be a good enough matchup next week where it doesn't matter, but I mean, there was not much work to the receivers until the very end. It was pretty much all running backs. It was a brutal start, and it looks better now if you look at the box score.
Yeah, I'll have to say on this one, I feel okay about Kamara, and that's a change from my last few weeks, but that's because of Breeze's struggles, and we know he's had a connection with Kamara in the past, and if he's struggling to throw the ball and really hit his marks deeper downfield, well, the logical conclusion for me would be, you know, lean on Kamara, throw him the ball more, hit him in space, and let him do his thing. I know one of you guys said this earlier, but it was really true. Like, the Chiefs, although they put up 32 points, you kind of could tell the Saints were making them struggle to score. Yeah. And the funny thing is, the Chiefs struggling to score is Mahomes throwing 250 and three touchdowns, Edwards-Helaire having 79 rushing yards, Kelsey 68 and a touchdown, Hill 50 and a touchdown. Like, when they struggle, every star gets a decent day.
Yeah, I mean, the box score really doesn't do this game justice. I think the Saints looked worse than the box score makes it seem, and the Chiefs, I think both teams really looked worse than the box score. I mean, both these defenses did a great job of making teams uncomfortable. The Saints really just trusting their front four, leaving those safeties in deep coverage and not letting the Chiefs really break out any big plays. I mean, it's really telling that Tyreek Hill's long play of the day was 19 yards. No one had a play longer than 23 yards. I mean, that's just not really what you typically see from this Chiefs offense. But Travis Kelce had a great game. Tyreek Hill had a great – I mean, the Chiefs still, you know, were able to produce, and they should be able to produce next week against the Falcons. So pretty easy for me from the Chiefs. You know, Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill are all still must starts. And then the only thing interesting out of the backfield is just going to be whether CEH is healthy or not. If he's healthy, I think you can start him against the Falcons. If he's not, can you start Le'Veon Bell with confidence?
I think so. If I was loaded at running back, I would not play him. But this Chiefs defense is a lot different when they play a tough defense. This Chiefs offense is a lot different when they play a tough defense. They run the ball a lot more. You see things like Mecole Hardman had 9 targets in this game. Sammy Watkins had 6. When they play a bad defense, it's just kind of they're just feeding Kelce and Hill. So that's what I would worry about against the Falcons is, do they even need Le'Veon Bell? But I just think he'll have shots at a touchdown. He showed a little bit of sign of life this week. So no CEH. I'll play Bell, but I wouldn't expect a massive workload from him.
Yeah, I would say I would trust Bell. I think that, as we saw last year, this team struggled to run last year, and they knew they had to, you know, set up something, because in the playoffs, you can't win every game without running. I think they're going to want to get Bell going now. I think Edwards-Helaire, based on the injury I saw, is going to be out for a bit. I mean, worst case, it'll be the season, but I could see Bell being the lead back from here on out. So yeah, I'm going to trust him, especially with the red zone opportunities this is going to create, knowing he's a better red zone back than Edwards-Helaire was.
Yeah, I would still expect Darrell Williams to rotate in now. So I don't think it's going to be all Bell. There'll still be a rotation, but yeah, he's a solid play.
And then with the Saints, we're pretty much just starting Kamara at this point. I mean, can you feel confident in playing Breeze if you've had him on your team in the IR spot?
No, I would not play Breeze. He's going to lose red zone work to Taysom Hill. And now it's just Kamara. I still feel confident in Kamara. I would have Emmanuel Sanders on my team as an option, but I would prefer not to start him.
Yeah, I'd go Kamara, and I would probably start Sanders, assuming Thomas is out.
Well, he is. He's out for the season.
Right. Yeah, he's out until at least the playoffs. That's right. So I would go Kamara for sure, and I would probably go Sanders, because I think there will be enough, even if it's Breeze struggling, to get him enough workload.
All right, and then moving on to the Cardinals' victory over the Eagles as they beat them 33-26. We talked a lot about the quarterbacks. We've talked about Jalen Hurts a handful of times today, but short answer, go pick up Jalen Hurts if he's available in your league, and then listen to the Wednesday show where Eric, Callen, and I try to figure out how high we're going to rank Jalen Hurts. Probably top 2, but you'll have to wait and see then to really see where we're going to rank him. Kyler Murray had a fantastic game, 3 touchdowns on the ground and a touchdown – or sorry, 3 touchdowns to the air and a touchdown on the ground, and he's definitely someone you can start next week. With the Eagles offense, with Jalen Hurts under center, which pass catchers still interest you between like Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Reagor? I don't know if Fulgham or Alshon or any of these other guys rank any interest for you, but how interested are you in the other guys that might actually be worth starting?
I think it's just Goddard for me. We've at least seen production out of him. He was tied for the lead with 8 targets. It was only 4 for 39 on, but it's a decent enough day at tight end. But I mean, Reagor, he had 5 catches for 49 on 8 targets, but I mean, they were rotating in Quez Watkins and Alshon Jeffrey, and I think I'm staying away from everyone. It was definitely better, but there's just such a rotation now at receiver. I don't think I can trust him. So just Goddard and Hurts and, Miles Sanders at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from this team looks good next week in the receiving core. The problem is there's just so many guesses at who it might be. And yeah, somebody might get lucky and start the right guy and, get to have bragging rights. But there's so many ways this could go wrong that I don't want to take a chance on any of them.
Yeah, and right. Alshon Jeffrey only shows up with 3 targets, but I swear he had maybe 3, maybe 4 defensive pass interferences on him. So he was getting thrown the ball a lot too. So there's just a lot of mouths to feed now.
All right, and then with Arizona's offense, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins showing why he's one of the best wide receivers in football. 9 receptions, 169 yards, and a touchdown. You can feel great about him. What's really interesting is Chase Edmonds out-carried Kenyon Drake 11-10, and he also out-targeted him 5-2. Is Edmonds going to move ahead of Drake for you in your rankings, Eric? Is Drake someone we can still play next week?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Chase Edmonds was on the injury report going into this week. And I don't think Drake got hurt. I'll be interested to see the snap count, but I haven't seen anything that happened. And yeah, Edmonds was getting more work, so I don't know what happened there. I would assume it goes back to Drake, but it's definitely worth putting Edmonds on your radar right now. He had a play designed for him in the passing game in the red zone for a touchdown. He performed a little better on the ground, so he's probably worth a bench stash at this point just to see what happens, see if the coaches say anything.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know if we can, there's really too much for us to take away right now. We'll have to wait for those snap counts to come out and see, you know, what's going on there. But definitely have Chase Edmonds on your radar. If he's not already rostered in your league, maybe go grab him because he could have the lion's share of the work next week against the 49ers. And, you know, he's already been getting the pass work. So if he's going to continue, if he's going to get plays drawn up for him in the red zone, that's going to make him a valuable, you know, probably back end RB2. All right. And then finally, the Trevor Lawrence watch game as the New York Jets beat the Los Angeles Rams and were pretty much in control the entire game, which is not something we expect to see from the Jets, really. So what on earth happened to the Rams offense today? And is that something that could happen next week against Seattle?
It's hard to figure. I mean, I think it's just when this running game isn't going, it's derails the whole offense. You'll look at it and it's 19 carries for 114 yards, but 40 of those came from a Robert Woods run. So it's just Cam Akers left for a little bit with an ankle injury, came back and it was taped up. So I think they start and stop with the running game. One thing I did think was encouraging about Akers is that he hurt his ankle, left the game, came back, and they were still feeding him like the lead back. So he's locked in. It just was a bummer that you didn't get a better game here. But Akers saw 36 snaps. Malcolm Brown saw 16, and Daryl Henderson only saw 7. So it's Akers' backfield. But I talked a lot about Goff in the loser section. If you want to hear more about the passing game, it's just Goff just isn't that good. So I think that's the main explanation.
Can you feel confident starting Woods or Kupp next week, Mike?
Oh, man, I don't think so. This passing game has been rough. And as we said earlier, this should have been the ideal week where the passing game could have really shined because you're given a 20-point deficit. You're playing the not quite a 20-point deficit. I think it was 20-3. But you're playing the Jets, and that's everything that should be lining up to say, oh, Kupp and Woods are going to kill it. I don't have a lot of faith in either of them, which is surprising. I thought of both as safe, like wide receiver two, wide receiver one kind of guys before the season started. And now it's just, I wouldn't feel great with either in my lineup.
Right. I see. I'm still going to play Woods. Now Kupp, I mean, he's got 41 yards or less in three of the last four games, and he's only got 3 touchdowns on the year, which he used to be the red zone threat, and that's all gone to Woods, who's scoring touchdowns. And you know, Woods scored one today. He gets that work in the running game. So I'm gonna get Woods out there. I still think he's definitely dependable. Kupp has just fallen more down into the wide receiver three range, but you know, before last week, Woods was really on a roll, so I wouldn't go away from him so quickly.
Okay, and you can definitely feel confident starting Cam Akers. Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson, I know you mentioned the snaps, but just to drive the point home, they combined for 2 carries, whereas Akers had 15. So this is definitely Akers' backfield. Seattle's defense, I mean, they've been great or improved lately, but I think Akers can still do well against them. With the Jets offense, we don't need to talk about too many of them. Really, the only player that's interesting, Jamison Crowder had 6 receptions for 66 yards on 8 targets. Is there any chance that you want to play him next week against the Browns?
If I knew it was going to be a Crowder week, then yeah, I would, but it's just always hard to tell with Crowder. So no, not really. I'm passing on this whole offense.
Yeah, I agree. There's nothing here I want.
Well, Trevor Lawrence might be passing on this whole offense too, as they might get the number 2 pick. Jaguars might get Trevor Lawrence instead. So really interesting to see that. You know, obviously NFL players, they're very competitive. They're going to go out there every week and do their best to win. But I wonder, it would be hilarious if we saw Adam Gase finally get fired as he finally did the one thing they told him he wasn't allowed to do this year, and that was win a football game. All right. Well, hey, semifinals are done. Hopefully everyone here is moving on to the championship, and we'll be back on Wednesday to help you with your lineup decisions for the championship week. And we'll be back next Sunday as well to talk about those games and also maybe help all the people out there who have a week 17 championship. So thank you all very much for listening, and make sure to check out the What We Saw article on our website, qblist.com, tomorrow.